Hag Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely lady, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, shalom to all, and thank you for joining us. We still have a few weeks before Pentecost, so we thought it was time to revisit, since it's been 4 years, and to look at Yeshua's initials. You know, the Aleph and the Tav, or the Alpha and Omega in the Greek's New Testament. But first, let us petition God's blessing.
Abba, Father, El Shaddai, we bow down before your throne and exalt your name above all names. We plead the blood of Yeshua over all those called by your name to protect us from the evil one's snares. We know who we are in Christ, and therefore stand tall, knowing without faltering that you have our backs and will soon be with you physically before your ultimate wrath is poured out upon the earth. Until then, as we watch the signs multiply, we ask for wisdom and a supernatural love for the lost that we will more aggressively evangelize. We ask that you give us the appropriate words, especially for our lost loved ones, to bring them to their knees while there is yet time. We ask that you bless this program as we pray it blesses you. We ask all this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
And amen. Well, I'd like to begin by addressing those who say that this Iran war is a precursor to the Ezekiel 38 Gog of Magog war, which it does not. We have talked about this almost every program lately, but there is a false peace before the Ezekiel 38 war, and that's recorded by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:3.
By the way, what does Magog stand for?
Well, Magog was the grandson of Noah, and he settled in the northern area above the Black Sea. Today, you could say it's a code name. It's like a title meaning hostile nations, because they have a demonically possessed leader using the title name of Gog. So here, Ezekiel refers to the northern nations as Magog. And we read in Revelation that Gog appears again at the end of the millennial kingdom, just before eternity, to give the living mortals at that time an opportunity to choose between good and evil.
And the Ezekiel 38 war will not occur until after the bride is gone.
Right. Then God focuses all his attention back onto his people to finish their week of 7 years of Daniel's 70th week prophecy, culminating in restoring them back to God by accepting their Messiah. 69 of the 70 weeks has already occurred, stopping with the death of Yeshua, which paused Daniel's prophecy, so to usher in the church age. So there are still 7 years left on that prophecy clock that begins again when the church age is over, which is why we must leave, and we will, at the rapture.
How can we know they received their Messiah during Jacob's trouble and not just at the end?
Right, during the middle, actually. First of all, we see the idiomatic phrase, in that day, and that's used in verse 10 of Ezekiel 38, and again in verse 14, which we know means after the rapture. And we also read it will be during peacetime. Therefore, after Daniel's chapter 9 peace covenant is signed.
Which 1 Thessalonians 5:3 is the precursor for that signing.
I believe so. And in verse 16 of Ezekiel 38, we also read in the latter days.
And verse 17 says, in those days.
And even again in verse 19 uses, in that day, when God steps in with a big earthquake. And by the way, I need to point this out. When you read the word nations, it doesn't necessarily mean countries, but rather just means people. The number in Strong's is 1471, goy, and it just means Gentiles, who it says will also know what happened. Some of them will. And then what does it say in verse 23?
it says, then they shall know that I am the Lord.
And that Yeshua is their Yahweh. They are one. And repeats that salvation again in chapter 39, verse 22, after Ezekiel outlines the enemy's destruction.
So the question comes up, can we prove it's not just the Father they recognize in verse 22, since it does say Yahweh?
I'm so glad you pointed that out. First of all, they will just know in their hearts it's their Messiah. But even more than that, we do have written proof. For God gives those who look a little deeper insight that Yeshua is God incarnate by looking at the Hebrew text of verse 21. Because anyone can visually see Yeshua's initial, the Aleph and the Tav, next to the word, my glory, and again after the words, my judgment. What that conveys to us is that all 12 tribes will realize that the Father and the Son are one.
Because they will see it.
And there are other scriptures where this occurs, and we said all that because tonight we will further explain all this and show how you too can see it as well. Right after a little news of the day.
Yes, big question. Will there be talks in Pakistan?
Well, it has been on again, off again with a cloud of confusion. But as of this afternoon, J.D. Vance is still in Washington. So who knows? They were supposed to meet tomorrow, but seems right now unlikely. And Pakistan is begging Trump to extend the ceasefire so talks can continue, which he might do.
Why do you think?
Well, actually, by continuing talks, which would also mean extending the ceasefire, results in no Iranian vessels getting through the strait, reaching Iran or vice versa, which squeezes their economy even more so, which in actuality is even better than us bombing. And because Iran is hitting certain ships in the Strait of Hormuz, it's forcing many countries to get oil from America. So, bypassing the strait and instead going through the Gulf of Mexico.
You mean the Gulf of America?
Yes, I do. Meanwhile, as a precaution, the oil-producing states across the Gulf are drawing up contingency plans for a scenario if the regime in Tehran stays intact.
They are concerned. Trump will compromise.
Yes. And actually, for the United States and Iran to reach any agreement, in my mind, they would have to overcome some insurmountable barriers. And now there is another barrier by the name of Ahmad Vahidi, the commander of the IRGC, who is the most hardliner ideologue involved in countless terrorist attacks, who opposes any arrangement that does not immediately release their frozen funds and lift all their sanctions.
He also opposes handing over any of their enriched uranium.
Or any restrictions on their missile program. There is a power struggle going on now in Iran, and any deal with the political party is really baseless because the IRGC, who is more powerful, will just override the decisions made in Pakistan. But they can use this time to build more weapons, for they still have more launchers and for all those missiles that they still have. As well, the Quds Force, who headquarter in Iraq, have joined up in Iran, along with other mercenaries, even from Pakistan. They've been spotted in Iran as well.
And Pakistan is hosting peace talks.
Yeah. And this Vahidi commander apparently has exclusive control over the invisible supreme leader, Mojtaba Khamenei.
Assuming Khamenei is functioning at all.
True. And seemingly, Vahidi dictates decisions to him. In Washington, an assessment was heard last week that without removing Vahidi from the picture, there is almost no chance of any agreement with Iran. And the same scenario is happening in Lebanon, where Hezbollah won't honor any deal with the Lebanese government. This was clearly a Trump-imposed ceasefire to please Iran, and has left Israel very uneasy. The public heavily wants a decisive blow to Hezbollah, but Netanyahu must now use restraint as he faces U.S. political pressure. And as I said last week, Lebanon isn't the problem. Hezbollah is calling the shots, like the IRGC is calling the shots for Iran's weak government that's been attending the talks. But anyway, more talks with Lebanon are scheduled for Thursday.
Well, that's likely a waste of time.
Oh, but Trump can say he brokered them, and he admitted that he prohibited Netanyahu from bombing Hezbollah, unless truly provoked. And from Israel's perspective, this Hezbollah ceasefire has left a bitter taste, as it did not fully achieve its stated objectives. And by the way, that ship called Tuska that we had to hit and then seized because it was traveling toward an Iranian port, well, its contents of 5,000 containers has shown thus far to contain many weapons, and we think came from China, who told us they wouldn't do that. Trump said he is displeased, thought they had an understanding.
Go figure. Okay, you can send your prayer requests, comments, and end-time questions to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office, and be sure to leave your phone number with your detailed message to 440-834-9006, and we will call you back. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your convenience.
Okay, one of Yeshua's titles is that he is the Aleph and the Tav in Hebrew, meaning the first and the last, or the beginning and the end.
In Greek, it's the Alpha and Omega,
which happens to be the first and last letters of both languages.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Right.
Makes sense, since he is the entire word.
Yes. And we see in Hebrew these two letters always right next to each other throughout Scripture, which is why we encourage you to get an interlinear Bible, and we like the J.P. Green, so you too can see how often it appears, as it does in Ezekiel, Hosea, and other writings.
Yeah, especially the prophetic books.
Mm-hmm. And you do not have to have a high IQ just to see it, and you do not need to know Hebrew to recognize it. Do not listen to the enemy, who does not want you to spiritually benefit in any way. So tells you, oh, that's just over your head. Because all you need to do is look for it, and the Holy Spirit will focus your eyes because you desire to see it. And by the way, the English word is directly under each Hebrew word, except for under the Aleph and the Tav, which makes it even easier to find. And we know why it's often there. It's just hanging out for you to see.
Because in the volume of the book is written of me.
Psalm 40, verse 7, and Hebrews 10, verse 7.
Talk about Hosea.
Okay, Hosea was Israel's northern kingdom prophet. And he was told by God to marry a harlot, because it's a picture of Israel becoming a harlot through idolatry. Now they do separate, but through God's direction, Hosea redeems her back and forgives her transgressions after she repented.
As God forgave Israel a few times.
And will again in the tribulation when they finally accept their Messiah in Hosea chapter 5, verse 15, we see Jesus speaking through Hosea, saying that he will return to his place.
Obviously, that's his ascension after his death and resurrection.
Until they acknowledge their offense.
In other words, they must first accept him before he will return.
And they do. Which is why we talked at the beginning of this study that they will get saved because of the Ezekiel 38 war in probably the third year of the tribulation. Because we see in Revelation 12, verse 17, they have the testimony of the Lord when they flee the Antichrist into the wilderness and wait for their Messiah for 3.5 years.
Also confirmed in Matthew 24, 16.
Therefore, we need to dispel those who teach that all Israel will accept him when they see him coming down from the clouds at the close of the tribulation. Now, of course, there will be the 144,000 new evangelicals who get saved at the beginning of the tribulation to witness, for they are the first fruits to replace the church who just left, and that's in Revelation 7.
Who are sealed and have a double anointing.
Yep. I've said this before. It's just like Elisha, who saw Elijah go up, which is why I think because of typology, they will have spiritual eyes, the 144,000, and see us go up, which is how they get saved all at once. Well, anyway, that's my personal deduction. So Yeshua continues in verse 15 of Hosea chapter 5 when he says,
in their affliction, they will earnestly seek me.
And we also have confirmation of that in Romans 11:25. They will get saved when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, which is the rapture. So, continuing in Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, Scripture says, he will return in 2 days, which means 2,000 years from when he left at his ascension, as pointed out in Psalm 90, verse 4.
That a day to God is as 1,000 years to us.
Therefore, we are talking approximately 2,000 years later. Now, according, of course, that's to God's correct calendar, because all of man's calendars can easily be a year or two off. But we are very close, because we see the signs. And we do know that the saved will meet him in the air at the very beginning of the third day after his ascension, which means the first day of the seventh millennium.
Our literal kingdom starts off in heaven.
Yes, the first 7 years and then back to earth, Revelation 19. Now let's go a little further to verse 3 of Hosea 6, which adds,
let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord.
Pursue his knowledge. And by the way, that's what Shofar Ministries is all about. Pursuing his knowledge and then sharing what we know with you in the hope that you too will personally desire to pursue his knowledge. And the knowledge of the Aleph and the Tav is definitely pursuing some deeper knowledge. And it's really easy.
Amen.
So we read here to pursue the knowledge of the Lord. In Hebrew, you'd say Yahweh. So again, how do we differentiate here that it's also the Son and not just the Father, as they did in the Torah, since the Hebrew word is Yahweh?
Just look at the letters in an interlinear.
That's right. And by the way, a list of the Hebrew alphabet is included in most English Bibles as well. So just look for the first and last letters called the Aleph and the Tav. And when you look at an interlinear at the word for Yahweh, which is Yod Heh Vav Heh, sometimes, and in this case, verse 3 of Hosea 6, it's also followed by the letters Aleph and Tav, which are Yeshua's initials. Again, I encourage all Christians to invest in an interlinear.
Yeah, it costs about $50.
Mm-hmm, prices come way down. Not only can you see all the words in Hebrew, you can read it in English, for each word has the English right underneath it. So it's very easy to see when Yeshua's initials are there as well, around certain passages, especially, as we said, in the prophet books. Just hanging out with no interpretation under it in English. But you will know why he's there.
And we have some examples.
Of course we do. And in the Torah as well.
In the creation account of Genesis.
Yes, in chapter 1, sitting there all so pretty, next to the word Elohim.
You can see Yeshua's initials, the Aleph and the Tav.
And Isaiah 52 is a gold mine, not just a gold nugget. As we see it twice in verse 10 alone, let's read that in Isaiah 52, verse 10.
The Lord,
which says Yahweh,
has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God.
Well, first off, the Hebrew word for salvation is the word Yeshua, so he's right there. And next to that, we see the Aleph and the Tav. And right between Yahweh and the word for his arm, we see again the letters Aleph and Tav. So let me translate it all together. Verse 10, Yahweh, Aleph Tav, made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the Yeshua of our Elohim.
It's so right there and, you know, in your face to see.
It's powerful and breathtaking. I actually years ago showed this to a Jewish man who worked at a Hebrew bookstore, and I asked him about this Aleph and Tav in Isaiah 52, and he just brushed it off and said it didn't mean anything, and then talked to someone else for, he was busy at the time.
But you did at least try.
I did, and you should too, especially to a Jewish unbeliever.
It's truly a faith builder.
Well, faith comes by the word.
So, let's do another.
Yes, also in Isaiah 53.
Imagine that.
I know, right? Please read verse 6.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Next to the word him is the Aleph and the Tav. But not after the word Yahweh this time, because it pertains to Father alone who laid iniquity on him.
Another?
Yes, in Zechariah 12. Please read the beginning of verse 10.
And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced.
Right next to the word me is the Aleph and the Tav. Remember, it's just sitting there with no English word under it, as all the others do have. It's meant for those who study to see it.
Again, this is not hard.
Okay, we're almost out of time, but let's just do one more out of Micah chapter 6, verse 1.
Hear now what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice.
Right after hear now, we see the Aleph and the Tav. It brings such a smile to your face when you see this and all of God's buried treasures. And it happens a lot. Please get yourself an interlinear. You won't be sorry. Now let me ask you, do you have the blood of Jesus flowing through your heart? How well do you know him? Is he personal to you? If not, you could invite him in right now. Jesus is your Savior who has totally paid your debt for your sins. Grab it right now, unless you prefer to pay the debt for your sins yourself. It's always your choice. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6, verse 22. Hopefully you have it memorized. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper. And that's Psalm 122, verse 6. Shalom, till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.